Hey, this is Jimmy D. Brown from iBusinessOwner.com, and you're listening to the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Episode 51.
You can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night.
You're listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, building internet businesses one night at a time. And now, here's your host, Mark Mason.
All right, all right. How is everyone this week? Man, it's been a super busy week. I hope you enjoyed episode 50 with my good buddy, Pat Flynn. If you want more Pat Flynn, you can find Pat Flynn on episode 300 of the Podcast Answer Man podcast over at podcastanswerman.com/300. Cliff had exactly the same idea I had and had Pat on for his 300th episode. Boy, I can't wait to get to episode 300. Anyway, there's not so much podcasting in that episode and more talking about the value of networking with other people in your industry, in your niche. And I think that is just an awesome episode. It tells the story of kind of how Pat and Cliff got to know each other. It's a very cool episode. So go check it out. podcastanswerman/300. So I've been traveling. This episode's a little late as usual. Sorry about that. You know, if I was early, I'd scare the heck out of everybody. So I'm a little late. I've been flying around on American Airlines this time, particularly. It looks like they're starting to get their stuff together. You know, they merged with US Air. And, I'm glad to see that because I like American. They're Dallas based and, you know, we want them to be successful. I always worry when airlines get in financial trouble that they're going to have safety violations. You know, from my perspective, that's what finally killed Eastern Airlines back in the 80s. You know, they had a $9.5 million fine against them right when they were in the middle of bankruptcy, or that pushed them into bankruptcy. And you know, those money and safety things go hand in hand. So I'm glad to see American back on track. Of course, I think American holds the record for fines from the FAA at $24 million. But, you know, in any case, it's all good. And the other excitement while I was traveling was my good buddy, Johnny Manziel, who is a Heisman Trophy winner. He's not actually my buddy, but boy, I wish he was. But he attends my alma mater at Texas A&M University, and he was shown in a picture on Twitter with a tattoo of our enemy, the Longhorns, logo on his chest. Turned out that was a fake tattoo, so I'm happy to hear that. But it's good thing Twitter was there. I was talking to my buddies about this. You could offer me a shoebox full of gold Krugerrands, and I would not put a Longhorn tattoo on my chest. Apologies to you Longhorn fans out there, but that's just the way I roll. And then I guess the other thing in my house that's been just crazy is everybody's been sick. We had strep run through our house, and so you know, it's kind of streptococcal bacteria stuff. Not fun, but antibiotics clears that up. So I'm back, and the last thing I wanted to let you know and remind you of was that on Wednesday, the 27th, which is, you know, just less than 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast Meetup over at the Londoner Pub in Allen. That's going to be at 8 p.m. at the Londoner Pub in Allen. And that's a great place. If you haven't been there, it's easy to find, and come on in. And we're just going to sit around and rap and just kind of talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Last time I had 10 or 12 people, which is an awesome size. And it shocks me that I can have a little podcast like this and geographically there can be 12 listeners anywhere close to me. You know, I know it's downloaded all over the world and it's all spread out, but it's really cool, man. I really enjoy this, and I hope you'll join us at the Londoner Pub in Allen, Texas on Wednesday, the 27th. If you're interested, please RSVP at latenightim.com/feedback. And then one more thing, I just wanted to thank thanks for the 5-star review on iTunes. Got one a couple of weeks ago from Eric 11155. You know who you are, Eric. Thank you very much. Eric says he finds the podcast practical and very useful information for online marketing, presented in a very down-to-earth manner. So I do try to be down-to-earth because, you know, the thing is, I started out like every new guy out there. I didn't even know what any of the words meant. And so it's important to remember that. So if you're ever getting advice from an online guru and you feel like they're talking over your head, you got a couple of options. One is you can ask them to stop that. And if they do and they understand, then maybe they're the right person for you. And if they don't, or they look down on you, or they make you feel silly, go the other way. Nobody's got time for that. I mean, you know, it's just everybody's new at everything sometime. So I just can't stand it when people do that. And so I try not to do that to you guys. So if you ever have a question about anything that I say on the show, you can contact me at latenightim.com/feedback, and I'd be happy to answer your question. So that gets us to a piece of feedback from the Facebook fan page from the land of ice shards in Europe. I heard in London, my buddy Andrew Hansen was telling me the weather forecast actually contained the term ice shards. That's not something that he has to deal with too much when he was in Australia, but apparently there are ice shards in the UK. Here's what Dave Tudor from the UK had to say about something that I said earlier in the show. He said, "Hi from the UK, Mark. I listen to your podcast regularly, and I'm one of those on the verge internet marketers trying my best to get started." Boy, I totally identify with that. He goes on to say, "I get a little confused as to where you stand on the subject of affiliate marketing. On the one hand, you actively support guys like Pat Flynn, who advocate finding a niche that you're passionate about and build a business around that. On the other hand, you seem to champion Andrew Hansen, who seems far less choosy on the content of his sites, with the major driver being to select niches that can make money. There does seem to be a bit of a conflict on this. In my mind, you can only really recommend one method and not both. I did buy Andrew Hansen's latest course through your affiliate link, I believe, but his approach is far more mercenary, if that's the right word for it, than Pat's. Please clarify which side of the fence you're actually on, Mark, if you'd be so kind. Thanks." This is an excellent and insightful question. It shows Dave is actually listening to what I'm saying, which is awesome. I just love this. So this is a valid point that Dave is making. And basically what he's saying is, he's got a couple of points in here, but one of the main points is, are you saying that we should pursue our passion and do something that we really care about? Or are you saying that we should chase the money and don't worry about whether it's our passion or not? And further, he's saying, look, it's one or the other. You've got to choose. You can't have it both ways. And the other point that he makes is Andrew Hansen is mostly on the side of the fence of choosing niches based on profitability and not paying much attention to what they're actually all about and what you care about. And on the other hand, Pat Flynn is on the side of doing things that you care about and, you know, adding value and so forth. So this is a good question, but I don't agree with all the premises in it. So let me see if I can clear this up for you, Dave, because I love this question and I really, really appreciate you sending it in. So first of all, to be clear, absolutely the best thing the thing that I'm most jealous of when I look at internet businesses and I see someone who is passionate about a topic and they are doing something that they would do for free anyway, and then they're able to talk about that and help other people do that thing, and that thing makes those other people's lives better, that is just an awesome thing. And I, you know, let's use Cliff Ravenscraft as an example. the thing that he loves more than anything in the world, I think, besides his family and his spiritual journey, is podcasting. I mean, this is what this guy is all about. He lives it. He breathes it. And the thing that makes him go and makes him, you know, fills his gas tank is helping people. So Cliff has built a career, a business, you know, he's on the way to building an empire, podcasting, doing the thing that he really loves more than, you know, vocationally, maybe more than anything else, and helping people, which is kind of his core value. He's able to combine those two things and build this business, and it shows. When you do business with Cliff, you immediately feel that that's what he's all about. And, you know, to some extent, although the vocation part's not quite as clear with Pat, you get the exact same thing. You get that he wants to help people. What really gets him excited is turning people's light bulbs on. And that's why he does what he does. I mean, I think that's his real motivation. Although with Pat, you can't quite as clearly point to a topic, a vocation that, where he is passionate about a thing that's aside from what he's helping people with. Like with Cliff, there's podcasting. With Pat Flynn, it's a little bit more diffuse. You know, there's not that thing that you could point to, that the helping people is the thing that Pat is interested in, and it's a standalone thing. So there's some examples on the passion side. What I particularly say, and what I've been saying lately, is that even though those businesses are the ones that I admire, and it's what I'm trying to build with late night internet marketing, it's what I'm trying to do because I'm very interested in internet marketing and how internet marketing actually works. And I love helping people and turning their light bulbs on and changing their lives and getting them started on this path and so forth. So I fall into that category, but I think that it is a huge barrier for someone who's getting started online, trying to build a business, to come to them and say, identify your great passion, the reason you're on this earth, and blog about it and build a giant business. Now, you can do that. You can do that successfully. And if you've got some sense of what that is, or if you think that describes you, that you already know that's what you want to be, and you can see yourself in this position, or even if you can't quite see yourself in that position, but that's what you want to be, then the place to go is Internet Business Mastery. No question about it. You go to latenightim.com/IBMA. You sign up for Internet Business Mastery and you become the world's leading expert in your topic of choice. There's absolutely no question. That's what I recommend. If that's for you, that's the right thing to do. But I think what the IBM guys have found and what I've found is that what's needed to get there are some baby steps, some sense about how the internet works. And so my point of view now is that passion's important, but also targeting some achievable short-term objectives is also very important. And so I advocate actually that what you do is you go find some things that you are interested in, and you focus on building some small affiliate opportunities around those things that you care about. So it doesn't have to be your life's calling, but it just could be the fact that something that you know a lot about or care about a great deal is electronics. And there's some, you know, particular kind of electronics, like, I don't know, audio equipment or calculators or something, where there's an affiliate opportunity there and it's something that you care about and you have something to offer there where you can go create some value and make an affiliate sale or two around that product. The main reason that I advocate this middle position for people who are getting started, this middle position between the mercenary thing that you describe, and we're going to get to that in a minute, kind of the Andrew Hansen side of the fence, and the more complete follow your passion, this is why I'm on earth version of the thing, is because I think it's really a lot to bite off and takes a long time to go down the passion road. So starting with that objective, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you start there, even though people do, and it works. But for the majority of people, it's a lot to swallow. On the other hand, just going off and picking something and deciding that you're going to, you know, jump into the Forex market and try to be an affiliate in Forex and you don't care about that, that is similarly hard, because when the going gets tough and you're not really sure and you're uncertain or you encounter obstacles, if another one of your obstacles is that you could care less about the market that you're working in, you will quit. And quit equals fail in internet marketing. I've said this many times. Most people who fail in internet marketing fail because they quit too soon. So I want you to choose something to do that you can actually achieve. Right now, I think that's small, forever affiliate style, affiliate sites that have a chance of making, you know, hundreds or even thousands of dollars a month when properly executed. I want you to do that. And I want you to pick things that you do that around that you're actually sort of interested in. I mean, I'm a scuba diver. I haven't looked to see. Maybe there's affiliate opportunities in dive computers that I should be checking out. I haven't really checked that out, but I need to. In any case, that is really what I recommend for that. So the bottom line is try to pick something that you can achieve that will hold your interest. That's really what I'm saying. And so that's the middle ground. As far as the, you know, the strict answer to your question, Dave, I think the best, most fulfilling businesses that you can be on the internet are businesses where you've discovered something that really turns your crank. You're helping people. You know, turn your crank is American speak for get you excited. I don't know how that translates in Great Britain, but something that really gets you excited, something that you would do for free, even if you couldn't make money at it, something that you're that excited about that helps other people. I think those are the best businesses. And if you can figure out an internet business that does that, I think you should do that. And the place to do that, in my view, is Internet Business Mastery Academy. And I would love to see you go there. Jeremy and Jason are friends of mine, and they do an excellent job with that. If you're just getting started and that doesn't resonate with you and you're looking for something more short term where you want to see income faster, because in that first case, it might be a year or two before you see a substantial income in many cases. If you want to do something more quickly, then I think a nice stepping stone is something like Forever Affiliate, latenightim.com/FA, if you want to check that out. And those two things are not mutually exclusive. So another thing that I will tell you is that the things that you learn in doing something like Forever Affiliate are directly applicable to the things that you would be doing in something like the Internet Business Mastery Academy. So nothing is wasted. And if you actually successfully execute both, you create relatively passive income streams with Forever Affiliate, which can fund the pursuit of your passion, which may be a longer term, larger investment sort of thing for you. So I think those things go together very well. And I'll give you another example of how you can reconcile this passion versus niche thing. One of the things that Pat talked about in the podcast last week was that he didn't really care about security guard training. Now, that site makes something on the order of $3,000 a month for him. He doesn't care about security guard training. So what does he care about? Well, he cares about helping people. So he's built a security guard training website that helps people become a security guard, which is something that could change their lives. They could feed their family that way. There's lots of, you know, ways that you could imagine that, that kind of career advice could help someone. Well, you know, let's say you decide to, you know, be an affiliate marketer and market some sort of, you know, skincare product or, you know, a health product or a vacuum cleaner or whatever it is. If you really do it well and you research the products yourself and try to figure out what the best ones are and only promote the good ones and provide people information that actually helps them obtain a product that's going to make their life better, then you can get a small piece of that. Now, it's not going to be the same as, you know, doing something that, you know, some big life calling, but you can still have that same orientation where you're really trying to help people. And that's actually what Andrew teaches in Forever Affiliate is the affiliate reviews and the information that you put on these websites that promote these products should add value. And that's another thing that I've always said is that the only way to create a real sustainable business is to actually add value to people. And so that's what I recommend. And I hope that clears it up. So as usual, the truth is in the middle. I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. I think you could and maybe should do both. And if you got more questions or opinions about this, I'd love to talk about them in the show notes. Now, one thing we ought to talk about next week, and one of the things that, you know, has been bugging me a little bit lately is, should you promote products that you, as an affiliate marketer, that you don't own or haven't tried or think are crappy or don't believe in or aren't willing to tell your mom about or your pastor? So, I mean, in general, I think the answer to that is no. I think having those kind of conflicts inside of you will undermine your business. But that's something we can save for a future episode. But if you got opinions on all these topics, I'd love to hear about them at latenightim.com/051. Okay, so that gets us to our interview for this week, and that is with a bloke, another bloke from the UK. I hope I can do that. Can I say that? Can Matt be a bloke? So Matt Richardson. I like this story for a couple of reasons. So Matt Richardson is a guy who saw an opportunity and created a business. And so this is, you know, yet a third kind of model for internet business that we don't talk about a lot on this show, but you can observe the need for a service. Maybe because you're off in internet marketing doing something else, you can see a need and go build a tool or create a service that other marketers or other people in some other niche need, and you can sell that. And that's what Matt Richardson is doing with a new product that he has called Go to Geo, Geo number two, GEO. And Go to Geo recognizes the fact that many affiliate offers restrict where traffic can come from. For example, in Amazon, for Amazon US, if you send, I don't know, France traffic to Amazon US, that either doesn't do you any good because they won't pay you for the France traffic, or doesn't do you any good because French visitors won't want to pay shipping from the US, or maybe the product they want isn't shipped internationally. So really, if you're getting French traffic, what you want to do is have smart software that says, aha, you're coming from France to my website. Instead of sending you to the US affiliate link, I'm going to send you to maybe even a different merchant that's local to your to where you're originated. And so that service is called Go to Geo. It's a new service, but it's an interesting thing to tell you about for two reasons. One, because this show is about affiliate marketing most of the time. And two, I hope it inspires you to think broadly about the kind of businesses that you might be able to create as you go down the path of internet marketing and building your own business one night at a time. Here's Matt. Okay, so I'm really glad to be on the mic not late at night, which is my normal custom, but now early in the morning. I may have to change the name of the show to Early Morning Internet Marketing because I keep running across these guys from the UK. What is it with this Greenwich Mean Time thing? Today I have on the phone, I'm really, really excited about this. I have Matt Richardson from GoToGeo.com. And we're going to tell you what that's all about. I caught this press release back in January and have been wanting to get Matt on the show, and Matt and I hooked up. Matt, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you, Mark?
I am absolutely fantastic. And you know, I have a show about affiliate marketing, and you have an online service that affiliate marketers are interested in. So that's a good deal, right?
Fantastic. Couldn't be better.
Yeah, it works out from a show perspective. The only problem is you are in the land of queens and castles over there in England. Where are you exactly?
I'm in Sheffield, which is in South Yorkshire. So that's what they'd call the north of England. So if you think of London and go straight up for about 3 hours, you'll get to Sheffield, and it's what they call the City of Steel.
Now, I have a friend that's from Sheffield, and I think he also attended University of Nottingham. Is that close by?
Exactly. So that's just a little bit south, just down the M1, and about 30 minutes down the road, and you'll get to Nottingham.
Quite
Sheffield, though.
Okay, I see. So now tell me, Nottingham, that's like Nottingham Forest and Robin Hood and Little John and all that kind of stuff?
Exactly. If you want to see a few guys running around with bows and arrows, that's where you'd go. And although, having said that, Sheffield happens to be the greenest city in Europe, apparently.
From environmentally green.
Exactly. There's more trees per person than any other city in the country. In fact, in Europe, apparently. So the best part of Sheffield is built on the Peak District National Park, and those trees are listed, and they're going nowhere. So it's a really lovely green city. And the west of Sheffield, if anyone wants to come to Sheffield and head out into the peaks, you can't do much better than that on a nice sunny day.
Wow, that sounds absolutely fantastic. So I would like to come there and lift a pint with you at some point, because I know from what my friend tells me, Sheffield also has some just killer pubs. But until we get that done, maybe we ought to turn our attention to affiliate marketing. So back in January, I saw a press release that you guys had started up over GoToGeo. And at first, I have to admit, I didn't really totally understand the problem that you were trying to solve with GoToGeo. When I went and did a little research, I thought, you know, this kind of affiliate marketing topic would be perfect for the show. So can we talk about this a little bit? And can you help me understand what problem does GoToGeo endeavor to solve for affiliate marketers?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the best way of doing it is just to run you through the problem I had one day. I was looking at the blog article of somebody, an entrepreneurial blogger, an author, somebody who you would know if I told you his name. I haven't had permission to, you know, I'm spoken to him or asked him for his permission to name him, so I won't bother. But it's a guy you would know. He's got an international readership. He's got a lot of followers, you know, probably about 500,000 followers on Twitter and so on and so forth. And he'd done a really great job of enthusiastically sort of getting my interest in this product. It was a book, as it turned out. And he'd sold it really hard, and it was great. So I clicked the link in full mind to actually go ahead and buy the book. The problem was he sent me to Amazon.com. Now, so I'm in England, so what that means to me is if I want to buy a book from Amazon.com, it's not impossible, but what it means is I'm going to have to wait up to 32 business days for delivery. I mean, that on its own is going to stop me from doing it.
Right.
But on top of that, I'm going to have to faff about with US dollars instead of pound sterling, so I don't quite know what I'm paying either, so I'm going to have to wait for my, you know, credit card bill to come in and find out what the exchange was and all that sort of stuff. Then there's the issue of returns. Well, what happens if I don't get it? or if I do get it, but it's ripped or damaged and I have to return it, how long is that going to take? Is it going to cost me more money? So on and so forth. And then I started thinking, well, what about if it, you know, if there were tax implications, if there was some import tax on it, or what happens if it was, let's say, an electrical item and it wasn't, it wouldn't have the correct, there would be a problem with compatibility, something like that. So I thought, well, I looked at all these guys' links, and they were all the same. It was simply looking after just that home market, but undoubtedly for him, he was losing out on a whole shedload of different people from all around the world because he was read all around the world. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So then I started doing some research on other affiliates, and the same seemed to be true almost universally, which was they were simply going for one link to one location for one market, their home market, and that was it. And I thought, well, what we could do with is a product where very simply and very easily, without having to install any sort of scripts or without having to have any technical knowledge, you could just simply take that link, replace it with another link, and then decide, bearing in mind the location of the visitor, you could then send them to different and multiple locations dependent on where they were in the world. So you could send them to their home storefront so that they could buy using their home currency and that they could enjoy, you know, next day delivery and so on and so forth. And so that's where the basics of the product came from. That's where the basic idea came from.
I see. So this kind of idea of link switching, so the obvious thing that comes to my mind would be, for example, eBay. So it makes absolutely no sense for me to send you to a eBay US link because you're not going to win an auction in the US, and have most eBay sellers don't want to ship internationally. What you need to be sent to is eBay UK, but the only way I know that is when I look at your IP address to know where you are in the world. So I take it that then your service has this ability to analyze the incoming traffic or the clicker, the IP address of the person who clicked the link, and then decide where you're going to send the traffic based on where that person is coming from.
Well, because what we wanted to do was leave it as a universal service with complete control, what we've had to do is leave it so that the little bit of setting up is left to the user. So what we've done is we've provided analytics which are actionable. As opposed to, I mean, everybody has sort of, you know, Google Analytics on their sites, and they know everything from one end to the next of all of the different stats. But in many times, these are just for vanity metrics because people don't seem to actually utilize that information and do anything about it to enhance their business. So with this, we're providing analytics which you can actually act upon. So if you stick a link in, and let's say you're sending people to the American eBay store, that's fantastic. You'd put your default link and that'd be great. Then what you'd be able to do is look at your real-time statistics, and you'd be able to see where you're getting traffic from. And if you saw that you were getting a quite a large percentage of your traffic from other countries other than your home country, you could then set about setting up the redirect. So if you take it back to the Amazon example, of course, Amazon have got 10 storefronts, which have got 10 separate affiliate programs. And unless you're putting the customer through the correct affiliate program, you know, you're not going to make your sale. If you send me to Amazon.com, all I'm going to do is I'm going to think, right, that's great. I've got my idea now. Thank you very much. I'm going to click into my browser. I'm going to put in there Amazon.co.uk. I'm going to go ahead and buy the book. But the affiliate is going to lose his commission. So I wondered as well, how many times a storefront like Amazon, for example, were making a sale that had been generated by an affiliate, but the affiliate was never getting paid out. Do you see what I mean? So yeah. I thought, well, this is really interesting because this will then take that completely and level the playing field. And at the same time, because it's just a link, it means that if you can find a brand in a country that Amazon does have a storefront in that's doing you a better deal on that product, well, then don't don't link it to Amazon for that product, link it to the other storefront. Or if you find that you've got a whole shed load of traffic coming from a location that Amazon doesn't have a presence in, again, you can exploit that. So this one link can be redirecting to all countries of the world, which I understand is 194 different countries of the world, all from the single link on your page. And all you've got to do is decide where you want the traffic to go. So if you see you've got 13% of your traffic coming from the UK, you think, well, that's actually probably worth a few quid. Right, we'll exploit that. And in future, we're going to send these UK guys over here. We'll send the US guys over there. We'll send the Canadian guys over there, and so on, all from the single link on your page.
Wow. So, yeah, this totally makes sense to me. You know, from a kind of from the perspective of it's obvious, and I know you've only been running up and running since January, but have you had some, or at least publicly up and running, I think is your business launched in January, but
yeah.
Have you got some initial feedback from users of the system that have talked about this whether this theory of higher conversions actually pans out on real traffic?
Yeah, it seems to do. We've got a small roster now of customers. Obviously, it's you know, from a standing start, it's a steady game. And also, I think I need to sort of expand the offering a little bit as well in terms of what we're doing at the moment. I think what I need to do on there as well is I need to include a free trial period so people can really understand that without actually having to risk any money. Easiest way to get somebody to buy your service, I think, is to find out that they're making back far more than they would pay for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially on something like this, if you know, if they can use it and then they're already making the more than the monthly fee during the trial, it's a no brainer.
Then it's a no brainer to carry on. Exactly. Yeah, and I think also what I'd like to do, one of the next steps, we're going to increase the criteria by which you can redirect, and we're also going to be looking at things like bringing in your own domain as well, so that you can use your own domain on the link, and it just makes things a little bit sweeter for the person using it. Well, so yeah, so it's certainly moving quite a pace right from the stand start, you know.
So one of the things I love about this business is, first of all, it makes obvious sense. It provides a valuable service. You're clearly adding value. One of the things that I like about it is basically what we're talking about here is you were looking around in the marketplace. You saw a need and you decided to fill that need, in this case with a software service product, and started your own company. So can you talk to us a little bit about that process, about, you know, what it's been like to start GoToGeo, and maybe what advice you have for other entrepreneurs that are wanting to do the same sort of thing, where you just see this obvious gap in the marketplace and you go to fill it?
Absolutely. Well, the hardest thing was actually to get the site developed. And initially, I thought it would be very straightforward to go ahead and outsource this, because I'm not a particularly technical guy. Actually, I'm a musician by trade. I do a few other things, but the fact is, I'm not a technical guy. So I needed a development team, and I thought, having read up on it, going out and outsourcing this would be really straightforward. You know, every time you read these books and articles about outsourcing, it just sounds like such a dream, you know. And actually, I found it to be completely the reverse. So then, after a lot of going around the houses and it wasn't a waste of time. It, you know, there was the old money, but there was certainly a good learning curve. And then, in actual fact, I've ended up with a great team that are right on my doorstep. But it's taken a lot longer, and I'm much further behind the schedule that I'd set for myself, and the development that I'd set for myself. I'm miles behind just because of the fact that I'm not actually able to get my hands dirty personally, get in there without the actual development team, you know, working on the product. And like I said, there's a fair bit of work to do, both on the user experience and what we're offering. So there's more to come. And so this is the only thing that sort of slowed me down. So I found it actually quite a slow process. The idea for the business came about, it must have been about 2-3 years ago, but it's taken me a heck of a long time just to find the right guys. And that's one of the things. If you'd asked me, especially as a non-techie guy, and you asked me, if you're going to set something up like this, what is my one thing I would recommend? And that is, you've got to find a really handy team. Because there's a lot of guys out there that will tell you they can do something, but it's not until you've got halfway down the road with them that you find out they can't actually do it. And you know what I mean? And they've told you something that actually isn't right. So that's the one thing. How you go about finding that team, who knows? Sometimes it's maybe serendipity or the luck of the draw. I don't really know. But that's the one thing I would say, is you've got to get a really good team and give you good advice, and that can do what they say they can do in a time scale that they say they can do it. And that would be my one big bit of advice for this sort of business.
Yeah, it's particularly difficult if you can't find someone by referral. I mean, that's the thing that works really well. But sometimes on these, particularly on bigger projects, it's hard to find the right, you know, the right match from people you know, especially if you're not around a lot of people who are hiring programming teams, right? I mean, in the music industry, you probably didn't have a lot of friends like that.
Exactly. If you want me to put a band together, if you want me to fix a gig or whatever, then that's a, you know, I've got a database full of people. I know exactly where to go for that. But this is so far out of my, you know, original comfort zone that it's all brand new. But there's something to be said for that as well. Do you know what I mean? So you it's completely new. It's completely scratch, and you just go after it. So. It's all very exciting. It's all very new, and we're moving. So we're starting. We're getting that ball. We're pushing it down the hill, and hopefully, we're going to get it rolling. You know, really fast going forward.
Yeah, and I think you'll find that you know, a year or two, or maybe you've already found that not being the guy who's focused on the line 437 of some PHP script somewhere means that you can really focus on the growth of the business, and you're not all down in these technical details, which, you know, in the end, a lot of this is going to be marketing, reaching the right people. The technical solution will be largely done. I mean, sure, you'll add features probably for the lifetime of this project, but the base product will be done, and what will be left will be running the business and marketing it and finding customers and that sort of thing, and not being the technical guy will help you focus on that.
Exactly. That's really my end of my job really now, is to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and like you say, find the right people, keep talking about the product, get more and more people, you know, because the other thing is, I think a lot of the time I don't even know whether this problem even comes to people's minds or not. I don't know if people even think about it, because you've got people who have got blatantly shed loads of international traffic, which they could capitalize on, but aren't doing. And, you know, we're not just talking like one geezer and his, you know, with a few products here and there. We're talking about some people who've got a whole raft of evergreen links out there, and they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not making what they should be making each year. So they're effectively just losing money. So really the proposition is, do you want to make more money or not? You're doing the work, you're writing the articles, you're hosting your sites, you're throwing out the links. Do you want to make more money on those links or not? And that's really the question. And if the answer is yes, then that's where GoToGeo really comes in, because it's really cost effective. And like you say, you're going to make almost always more than $9.99 a month back, depending on what you've got going on.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So that makes it a no-brainer, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I do a lot of affiliate marketing, and a lot of affiliate offers, they will only accept traffic from certain countries. And if you want to access traffic from other countries, you've got to send people to an entirely different offer, which, you know, coding that up on your own blog is not straightforward. So it's really a neat idea to be able to have a service, especially one that's affordable, is what you're talking about, to do that. So that's really cool.
Exactly. And of course, if you end up getting a link that just gets shedloads and shedloads of traffic, then of course we're handling it. You're not handling it, we're handling it.
Right.
So, you know, that makes it another really good cost-effective way to do it.
Now, I have, you know, related to this, I have a lot of listeners. Obviously, this is a podcast. I have a lot of listeners that are involved with iTunes, either as customers of iTunes or they write apps for the iTunes store, or they're promoting iTunes as an affiliate. Can you talk a little bit about the special case of iTunes for affiliate marketers and as sort of as our last example of how GoToGeo can help people?
Well, exactly. So the issue with iTunes is that they've got 45 country-specific affiliate programs worldwide. They are administered by just four affiliate networks. So Linkshare, TradeDoubler, DGM, and the Linkshare Japan. TradeDoubler is slightly different in that they have a situation where they have the European, the Latin American countries, and then Brazil's on its own. So they're slightly different, but for like DGM, they're dealing with the programs in Australia, New Zealand, Linkshare dealing with the programs in the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And so the same problem exists, basically, that you've got to be targeting, you've got to be geo-targeting properly. Otherwise, like you say, you simply lose out. So what better than to stick that link in there, make sure you're targeting your customers correctly, make sure you send them to the right places via the right affiliate programs, and mopping up all those extra sales. And that's it's another thing. So Amazon, iTunes, eBay, all of these different stores, they're all basically crying out for the same solution, I think.
Now, I guess in the case of iTunes, I can understand why they don't handle this on their end, because it's actually different affiliate networks. I mean, there's no way for Apple, the way they're set up now, to even solve this problem on their end. But
no.
why doesn't eBay just go ahead and route that traffic? Do you have any sense of why? I guess they don't have maybe the answer is they don't really have a very strong incentive to make sure I get paid, do they?
Well, that's exactly right. And you think about it, if you're flogging something and you're making a sale, it's like Amazon, you know what I mean? You flog something and some other guy goes, oh, I'm not buying from that storefront. I'm just going to go, now I know where it is, I'm just going to go to this other storefront and buy it. Well, the affiliate's done his job. He spent all his time, energy, and money doing his job. But of course, these guys haven't paid out. And I wonder how much money they're not paying out each year that they would otherwise have to pay out. And that is an interesting question. And that's why that solution works. Because like you say, they've got no incentive. They've got no incentive of changing anything, especially when they're getting you to do all that hard work, but you aren't getting paid for it.
Well, I love this, Matt. And I, you know, the thing I love about your story the most is this instant success, because to many people, they will look at your story and they'll say, hey, this guy had an idea. He started a business in January and he's off to the races, and, you know, and here it is in March and he's running this business. And the truth of the matter is, behind every instant success story, there's years of struggle. And so I love the fact that, you know, that what's really behind this is a great idea and then a lot of hard work to make it happen. So congratulations on getting your business up and running, and thank you for alerting us to this, because I tell you, I have links to iTunes, you know, affiliate links on my blog. I have links to Amazon. I have links into all kinds of places. None of that stuff is geo-targeted at all. So this is helpful to me, and I think it'll be helpful to my listeners, and I appreciate you being here to talk about this. I do have one last question.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about your music career. So I'm very interested in that. So do you play an instrument, and what kind of music does your band play? And are you still doing that, or did you have to drop that for this Go to Geo thing?
No, well, I was a scholarship student at the Royal Academy of Music in London. It's one of the best schools in the country, one of the best in the world. And I was on the classical course, so I play drum kits, I play percussion, all sorts of orchestral percussion, as well as, you know, drum kits. So I work as a freelancer, I work as a session player, playing anything from a jazz gig, a pop gig, you know, a show, or a classical gig. I'll do all of that sort of thing, opera, whatever. I also run a whole host of different bands, and I fix a whole host of different things for things like corporate events, bar mitzvahs, weddings, military engagements, all that sort of thing as well. So I have a whole host of bands. I have a great band called VIP. I have another band called the NPR Jazz Ensemble. And we work all over the United Kingdom, as well as a little bit in Europe. And we do all that sort of gig. So, and that's something which has taken a slight back burner for me just for the moment. But it's something I continue to do because it's kind of my trade as such. I also do a little bit of teaching, a tiny little bit of teaching, which amounts to about 30 days a year. So it doesn't take up too much of my time, but I like to keep my hand in with that as well. So just a bit of education work as well. And, makes me nice and well-rounded. But the music's kind of like, you know, you've got to keep that up because it's just, you can't really let it go. You can't let it go because it's just part of what you do, who you are and all that. So, any opportunity I can see, I'll take it. But my base is music, because that's kind of who I am, what I am. But, yeah, so I'll keep working, and, I don't think I'll ever stop with that, Mark, to be honest.
Percussionists always amaze me, and I knew I could never be one because I can't play triplets with one hand and eighth notes with the other, so I knew I was doomed.
Absolutely. Yeah. The whole thing of independence of limbs. I remember having lessons with a guy, Jim Chapin, from America. He's passed away now, but he was mega. He taught all the guys, and his hands right to the end were absolutely ferocious. They were. He used to burn on. He'd get on the practice pad. He could burn me off, no problem at all. And that's when I was practicing as well, you know. And this guy was just mega. But yeah, so that's the thing. Independence. One thing to practice on the kit. Get your independence together. Get the Jim Chapin book. Get your independence together. You'll never look back.
Yeah, independence is good for marketers too. So that's, you know, you need to be able to outsource with one hand and market with the other. So that's great, Matt. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, if people want to hear more about Go to Geo or follow your story, where's the best place to hook up with you online?
Yeah, we'll get to the site, www.gotogeo.com. So that's G-O, the number 2, G-E-O, Go to Geo. You can send me an email there. You'll get me via the site as well. Or you can send me a direct email at matt.richardson@gotogeo.com. And anything you need to know, any questions, anything like that. And like I say, keep your eye on the site, because it's going to be changing very shortly. This site that we've launched needs a fair bit of jiggery pokery, and it needs a little bit more addition as well. So it's all on its way.
Excellent. Well, congratulations, and I'd like to hear back from you in a year or so and hear how things are going.
That would be fantastic, Mark. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, Matt. Well, thank you very much. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Superb. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt. That was awesome. Really appreciate having Matt on the show. That's gotogeo.com if you have some sort of need for this sort of service. He's just getting started out. Tell him you heard about him on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. He'd love to see you over there. He's got a pretty cool blog going up on over there too, where he's starting to talk about some affiliate marketing topics related to this. So you might check it out and go leave a comment. Very cool. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. I'm headed down to Austin today to go check out the end of South by Southwest with my daughters and hang out with my brother in Austin. And he's an intellectual property attorney. I'm hoping to get him on the show in a few weeks to talk a little bit about legal issues around internet marketing and so forth. And so until then, I hope you have an absolutely stellar, killer, fantastic, off-the-hook week. Just go crush it this week. Whatever it is that's been bugging you, that's been keeping you from getting stuff done on your internet business last week and the week before that, whatever obstacles have been in front of you, whatever excuses you've been making, whatever TV shows that you've been watching, I want you to put all that stuff on hold until you hear the sound of my voice again and get something killer done this week.
Well, by now you know as well as I do that the sound of that music means that it's time to bring yet another episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast to a close. I hope you found something valuable inside this episode that you can apply in your own internet business. I really do believe that you can get everything you want in life by getting other people what they want. And I hope I got you a little something that you want in this episode. Let me know how your business is going. Stop by the Facebook fan page and just say hello. Now go make some progress on your internet business. If you do a little of that every day, after a while, you're going to love the results.
Thank you for listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. This show rocks because of listeners just like you. And we really hope you enjoy this episode. We want to hear from you. Stop by latenightim.com/feedback and leave a comment, ask a question, record a message, or leave a review on iTunes. Mark does his very best to respond to each and every listener personally. Just let us know how we can help. Until next week, and have an absolutely fantastic day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm headed down to South by Southwest, as I mentioned just a minute ago. And so I'm going to pack up the car and get the heck out of here. I hope you have a groovy week and, you know, peace out and love and all that. And think of me. I'll be in Austin, and I love Austin. Austin's really cool. If you haven't ever been there, highly recommended that you go check out Austin, Texas. It's kind of like San Jose meets Boston. It's kind of like San Jose meets Boston with hot, humid weather. Ciao. See you later.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.